Rolling.
This is the Fed Sock Films Podcast,
where we continue the conversation sparked on film.
Quiet on set.
You want to know what freedom tastes like? It tastes like this beer.
Take one.
This is, in fact, the classic solution in search of a problem.
Action.
That cannot help but be controversial.
Cut.
With expert discussion and analysis.
With the greatest legal minds on the topic today.
The Fed Sock Films Podcast.
It's a wrap.
You know, I wonder how Samuel Adams must have felt when his cousin John took on the defense of the British soldiers implicated in the Boston Massacre. Was he frustrated, galvanized, or did he feel just a little bit proud of his cousin's dedication to the rule of law? Maybe a little bit of each, or maybe not, but I can hardly speak to what was going on inside his head. Hello there. Welcome back to the FedSoc Films Podcast. I'm Anne Hartley, your ever-speculative host. I'm joined once again by the gracious Ira Stoll from Education Next. Welcome, Ira.
Good to be back here.
Glad to have you. So what is Education Next, and what do you all do?
Education Next is an education policy journal based at the Harvard Kennedy School in the Harvard Program on Education Policy and Governance. And we've got a website, educationnext.org, where you can visit and sign up for our email list. And we cover K through 12 education, higher education, and we try to do it from a empirical, fact-based perspective. We cover things like school choice and charter schools and vouchers and the culture wars of higher education and the financing of K through 12 and higher education. So free speech on campus. So I'm the managing editor of that journal, which is a fun job that I've been doing now for about 4 years. It's really a lot of fun, but it's not as fun as writing my biography of Samuel Adams was and helping to explain that book once it came out and make sure people know about it. So I'm super happy to be here today talking about Samuel Adams, as I see it a little bit as part of my work on education, which Samuel Adams was actually quite big on. I mean, he as a member of the Massachusetts legislature, expanded public education to women and girls. And he was a benefit himself of a great education at Boston Latin School and at Harvard College, both of which still exist today. That's all of which to say is that while the biography writing and the Education Next editing may sound like they're a little bit apart, there's probably a little more overlap there than one might think.
Yeah, I'd say that it sounds like you and Samuel Adams are a little bit of two of a kind.
Well, and we also write about history education, which has become highly politicized. I mean, there's a camp of history teachers and historians who think that the founders were all a bunch of evil slaveholders and oppressors, and that all this rhetoric about freedom was in a way fatally flawed by racism and sexism. And without minimizing the racism and sexism, all of which existed, the story I tell in my biography of Samuel Adams is, I think, a heroic story, a story of fighting for freedom and liberty. And to me, it's very inspiring and not something to be ashamed of, but something to be proud of. And so I think in that current political environment of fighting about the founding, especially as the 250th birthday of America approaches, these are issues that people in education are fighting about, that parents are fighting about, that school boards are fighting about. And it's nice to be able to come to those discussions with like a deep grounding in facts and understanding of a particular case. Like Samuel Adams is a case where there's no evidence that he was a slave owner. And in fact, there's an account that when somebody tried to give him a slave, he refused it, saying it was inconsistent with you know, he couldn't, as somebody who is fighting for liberty, own a slave. that, you know, that those are hot issues now. And so it's good to be talking about them.
Absolutely. And you said that website was educationnext.org?
That's correct.
All right. So in our film, Son of Liberty, Man of Law, we saw that John Adams and Samuel Adams, the cousins, ended up on separate sides of a pretty contentious trial during the Boston Massacre trial, literally sitting on opposite sides of the courtroom. Can you imagine what it must have been like for them?
Well, the context was a warm family relationship and really a partnership over many years in the work of winning freedom for the colonies and building the new state. So this, the massacre trial was a tense moment and it must have strained the relationship. But the relationship had already, the relationship had its ups and downs. There was a period in the run-up to the revolution where John Adams said, you know, I've just got to take a break from this. I got to focus on my law practice and make some money. And, you know, Samuel Adams kept working on the revolution. Like he hadn't gotten burned out, or if he was, he wasn't going to let it interfere with his work. So, and they played different roles. I mean, Samuel Adams was really the writer and the agitator, and John Adams, and the more religious one. John Adams had this great legal mind and crafting the Massachusetts Constitution, the checks and balances that became also part of the U.S. Constitution through Madison's work, just had a different kind of genius. And so, you know, I think Samuel Adams, you laid it out probably quite accurately that he was probably a little annoyed that John Adams was defending these troops, but also appreciated that they had the right to an advocate, and that ultimately, like, any verdict finding them guilty would be more credible if the soldiers, the British soldiers, had able, competent representation. So I think he would have appreciated the complexity of the situation.
Sure, absolutely. So since these were such two different men, did they have different approaches to American independence? Do you think that's fair to say?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, there was that period where John Adams stepped away from it for a couple of years, and Samuel Adams kept up. And so I think they were in deep agreement on the goals of freedom, liberty, no taxation without representation, rule by consent of the governed, those core principles they were in agreement on because they'd had similar educations. They came from a similar family, similar religious background. They were from similar places. I mean, their ancestors had come to the Massachusetts Bay Colony from England seeking religious freedom, seeking the ability to make their own decisions about their fate. So, like, on a deep philosophical level, I think they were quite well aligned. They just, you know, one was a lawyer and one was a writer and organizer. And, you know, so they played different roles. And, you know, one of the things about them being from the same place is we think of this story as happening largely in Boston. But in fact, Samuel Adams was in Philadelphia for almost 7 years during the Revolution, serving in the Continental Congress. And for a lot of that time, John Adams was serving alongside him. And so when they traveled back and forth, they did it on horseback and they traveled together. So you think of them riding through Connecticut on horses, like without a big party of servants or bodyguards or assistants. They spent a lot of time together. It wasn't all serving in Congress or going to meetings. It was just, you know, riding along those dirt roads and checking into inns and yeah.
Oh man, I would have loved to have been a fly on a horse for one of those trips. That sounds incredible. So it sounds like they were definitely in agreement on principles, if not necessarily in practice. Did they ever let politics get between them, either during the Boston Massacre trial or at any other point?
You know, it seems to have been a pretty warm relationship. They were not, you know, they weren't brothers, but they were cousins. And John Adams lived south of Boston in what's now Quincy, Massachusetts, whereas Samuel Adams lived in the city of Boston itself. So, you know, they weren't directly neighbors, but, you know, I think John Adams was president of the United States, which Samuel Adams never was. So they might have been a bit jealous. And I think Samuel Adams, after the Revolution, even though he supported ratification of the Constitution, he also supported the Bill of Rights, the amendments, and he was close with Jefferson. So there was a political split after the war between the Federalists, which were Washington and John Adams, and what was called the sort of the anti-Federalists, was more the Jeffersons and who were more adamant about adding the Bill of Rights to the Constitution. And so, you know, there was a little political split there. And also, like, there was correspondence that we have their letters. And so there was a debate, which I write about in my biography, Samuel Adams, about whether freedom and democracy could be universal. And Samuel Adams believed that. And John Adams was like a little more skeptical, like, you know, even savages. And Samuel Adams was like, yeah, even savages, like, and everybody eventually. And so that's a debate also that we seem to still be having in American foreign policy about, like, you know, whether the whole world eventually can be free and democratic, or whether that's too idealistic and optimistic. And I guess that's a story that's still unfinished.
Absolutely. Seems like in some ways the topics we discuss never really change.
Exactly. These ideas of rights and taxation and representative government and the how much people are willing to fight for freedom and or how much they just need to focus on earning a living, the role of the press and all of that. And these are all issues that are very much still with us.
For sure. So what do you think we can learn most from John Adams and Samuel Adams?
Well, the way I would put it is that we all have a role to play in the struggle for freedom. And you've got to choose the role that's right for your talents and dispositions at the time when it makes sense for you and your family and your life. And there's no one way to fight for freedom, but it's good to be in the fight.
Sage advice. Well, thank you, Ira, so much for taking the time to talk with us about the Adams family. Before we go, I want to know, which cousin do you think was the better one?
Well, I chose to write my biography of Samuel Adams in part because David McCullough had already written a great book about John Adams, but in part because I feel like they are both great in their own ways, but the figure that I identify more with as a non-lawyer and as a newspaper man is Samuel Adams. And as someone whose zeal for liberty is also informed by religious faith, the way Samuel Adams was. To me, he's a very intriguing figure, and so if I had to choose, I'd be in the Samuel Adams camp, but they're both great patriots. And it's not something that if somebody who's listening feels like they're more in the John Adams camp, like I'd be happy to hoist a beer or a cup of tea or coffee and debate that peacefully and democratically. It'd be in the great spirit of the revolution that they were so crucial in the success of.
Absolutely. I'm sure they'd both join right in there. So thank you so very much, Ira. This has been spectacular. And thank you to our audience for hanging in there. You can find our film, Son of Liberty, Man of Law, on YouTube, Facebook, or fedsoc.org. That's FEDSOC.ORG. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. That's a wrap.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.